I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
On March 11th, 2011, there was a rumbling off the northeast coast of Japan. That rumble became a 9.0 magnitude megathrust earthquake that shook the Japanese people out of their post-lunch daydreams. Terror paralyzed everyone along the coastline. It was the most powerful earthquake ever recorded in Japan and the fourth strongest earthquake ever felt on the planet. But it was about to get worse. It took only 30 minutes for multiple 50-foot waves to reach the Fukushima shoreline. Around 20,000 people lost their lives. The raging waters literally invaded every Japanese life that day, including, tragically, the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear reactors, which were completely overwhelmed by the onslaught of salt water. This was the only disaster in human history, aside from Chernobyl, to be rated a level 7 out of 7 on the International Nuclear Event Scale. In the next few hours, as the nuclear core cracked open and leaked into the ocean, 150,000 residents were forced to evacuate with just the clothes on their back and whatever keepsakes they could grab. Government buses escorted people away, and they left behind everything, including their cars. 10 years later, those same cars sit abandoned in driveways with radioactive scrub brush tickling their undercarriages. Some brave souls and Google Maps camera cars have documented what was left behind. GTRs, RX-7s, 350Zs, and even a 1964 Impala have been sitting and waiting for their next drivers with a sweet offer, a very low mileage, and some very high radiation. Why don't you see many old cars driving around Japan? Why does it take a massive disaster to stockpile some of the most desirable JDM cars? What is shaken, and why is it stirring up the auto industry in Japan so much that people just don't want to drive old cars? Today on Pass Gas, it's a very JDM edition of Barn Finds, or Naya Haken.
Pass Gas Podcast.
I've watched a couple little documentaries on people going back to Fukushima area.
Yeah, I saw Godzilla.
Never thought of cars.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
That's what Godzilla, that's, they went there in Godzilla?
In the remake with Bryan Cranston, Godzilla was the reason for the reactor meltdown. And then Bryan Cranston and his son have to go back to the zone.
That's right. I really like that movie. I think there's a really hokey part that kind of ruins the whole movie for me. I mean, there's some like cheesy lines and stuff, but there's literally a train with a nuclear warhead going through a small town and a guy just like with a gun guarding it, announcing that where it's going. And it's just like the worst exposition. He's just like, watch out, nuclear warhead coming through to kill Godzilla. And it's just like this dude standing on a train announcing to this tiny town where this nuclear warhead's going.
He's just excited, man.
Watch out here. Train coming through with nuclear warhead. Gonna go kill Godzilla.
Well, we got a podcast train coming through today for you guys, folks. Hello.
Toot, toot.
Welcome back to Past Gas. I'm Nolan Sykes, joined as always by my friends. We got James Pumphrey.
We're more colleagues.
All right, my best friend, Joe Weber.
Work friends.
Whoa, okay, wow. Feeling very despondent today.
It's a new year, man. I just want to like set boundaries and be honest with people.
Oh, well, all right. Well, we could talk about that later.
if you have to, man, if you have to talk about it, we can. But sure, yeah.
Your dad is a friend for life, for sure. I met Scott maybe 22nd of December. We've been texting ever since.
Wow. I'm glad you guys hit it off so well.
I feel like Scott's a funny name for a dad.
Scott.
Why?
Yeah. Scott's like a young guy's name. It's like nobody's dad's name is like Chris.
I've had a lot of people's names. Dads are Chris.
Yeah. Email us at passgas@donutmedia.com if your dad's name is Chris.
Like if your dad's name is Zach.
Oh, that's going to be an interesting one. Yeah.
What's going on?
Or like Braden.
Braden.
Yeah, if your dad's name is Hunter. Nobody's dad. I don't think there's anybody who has a dad named Devin.
No.
Not a single person. No.
Devin. They switch it up to their middle name or they just go by.
Mr.
Yeah. Devin.
Mr. Devin.
Scott's like the name of a brother.
Well, he is someone's brother, so
well, yeah,
he's my uncle's brother.
What's your uncle's name?
Tom.
That's a dad name. Totally.
Yeah.
What if you just called your dad your uncle's brother? he's my uncle's brother. You mean your dad?
My uncle's brother?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's my dad, but...
He's also my uncle's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the new year, 2022. We've, I don't know, we had to get a bunch of these podcasts recorded before the New Year's break and Christmas break. So now this is our first recording that we're doing of the new year. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a good year, guys. 2022, I can't believe we're this far into the future now. You know?
Mm-hmm. I'm keeping my expectations real low.
Yeah, man, I'm just like kind of waking up every day, you know?
Yeah. Like if I can go outside and go to the restaurant, that's a win for me.
Well, I'm glad you guys share my enthusiasm. It's going to be another banner year for Pass Gas over here.
Dude, if I can just hang out with Scott once a week.
Yeah, dude, if Scott hits me up, if I can log into the text chain with Joe and Scott and see some of those fire memes that Scott's sharing, the day is a good day.
He sends a lot of thumbs up emojis, you know.
Dude,
he's
you
really
even,
keeping it lively.
Quit, man. You don't know what's up. You're not,
nah, man.
You don't,
okay.
You get the sun treatment. We get
yeah,
the friend
get
treatment.
The sun treatment. We're friends with Scott, all right?
Oh, okay.
He literally is like, don't show these to Nolan.
He sends us carburetor memes.
Yeah, and they're dirty, dude.
They're funny.
Dang, I am envious.
2022, the year that I moved into a house where the toilet is too close to the counter, so I have to sit side saddle.
You talk to your landlord about that? Maybe ask him to move it around.
This place was built in like 1937. They're not going to like carve out some knee room. For everyone listening at home, I moved into a new domicile and I didn't poop while I was touring the place. But then once I moved in, I realized that the toilet is so close to the sink that I have to sit sideways when I poop.
Would that would have been a deal breaker if you had tested it?
Nah.
I like your place a lot. It's cool.
Thanks, man. I'm worried I'm going to get a UTI.
Drink some cranberry juice.
Yeah.
All right. While incredibly historic and clinging to a revered history, today, Japan is a country of shiny new things. Japan was rocking camera phones back when we were just starting to get rid of our beepers. Their toilets lovingly coo to you and sport heated seats. You can get beer and undies out of vending machines on their subway system. And best of all, you've got robot cashiers who don't force you to make small talk. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hate talking to plebes.
I love being in restaurants and just ordering off of virtual menus and never having to talk to waiters. Makes me feel really good.
I don't want some freaking servant talking to me.
And I want my food to come on a little conveyor belt. Would that look like it looks like a train or a boat?
I want my existence to be me just floating to different establishments, but never having to interact with anybody.
Yeah.
Especially if they're beneath me, like people in the service industry.
You know, this is what made me realize that like Scott would have really loved this script. Like dude, loves.
This is just totally right up Scott's alley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Japan is often referred to as a nation that's already living in the future, especially when it comes to anything technological. That includes cars. Americans, on the other hand, really like to hold on to our cars. According to an IHS market study, in 2021, the average age of a newly purchased car was 12 years. That means the average person driving next to you bought their car while the C7 Corvette was just getting sketched out as a model, and no one even knew what a Tesla was.
I do know this, like when you go on Japanese Craigslist, there's like the average mileage for cars on there is like 60,000 miles.
Well, they have a very robust public transit system, so that makes sense. While it sounds boring to drive a car forever, it has certain advantages. First, you can have a paid-off car. Second, no bank will tell you what you can do with your car. Third, you can just get personal liability insurance, and that's kind of nice. The Japanese disagree, though. They're known to have the cleanest, newest, rust-free vehicles on their twisty and fun roads. The average new car in Japan is half the age of an American car. At 6 years, it is typical to ditch the dusty whip and go buy a whole new vehicle. And while there are advantages to keeping your aging car around, getting a shiny new one has its own advantages, aside from the new car smell. The new tech is cleaner for the environment, the safety standards are higher, and your significant other will stop complaining about how your car smells like burning oil and is home to a clutter of spiders that wait until you're driving down the road to emerge from the door sills and crawl all over you.
Yeesh.
We've all been there.
When the Japanese get sick of their cars or there are too many spiders roaming around inside of it, they sell it for basically nothing. The cars go for pennies on the yen because nobody in Japan is going to buy a car that is more than 6 years old. Once cars age out of the Japanese ownership cycle, they are shipped to Africa, the UK, India, Australia, and if they're super cool, a little place called America. Cars are bought up by resellers who foot the shipping charge to make a profit on the other end, and they do make a hell of a profit. Back in 1995, you could pick up a brand new R33 Skyline for 4.785 million yen, which is about $40,000 American. Today, that same R33 will cost upwards of $100,000 to $150,000, depending on how nice it is. That's a lot of money for a 25-year-old Nissan that looks like a Maxima. But the cultural stigma of having a slightly used car isn't the only reason the Japanese are out there turning their noses up at all those great cars from 2015. There's also something called shokin, which is short for Jidosha Kinsa. Torokusieto.
Nailed it.
Which is perfectly pronounced by me.
So I see no issue.
Congratulations, everybody. Thank you.
We did it.
Shokin is a draconian inspection system required for car ownership in Japan, and apparently it sucks. Every 2 years, a car must undergo shokin, and it can cost close to $1,000 every time.
Wow.
Newer cars are exempt, but at the three-year point, your brand new car becomes a danger to the roads of Japan, and the man needs to take a look at what you got going on. Did you modify your car at all? Maybe gave it a little tweak or a tune. Maybe a little exhaust and you like lowered it a little bit or something. You can't do that, surprisingly. So when you show up for shokin, they're going to slap a sticker called Fuzake Zosha.
Nice.
Thank you. And now it's been declared a menace to society and is banned from the streets. But
whoa, that sucks.
What do you do if your car is deemed illegal? Since so many cars get hit with this sticker during the inspection, there's a whole process where a mechanic gives you the rundown of what's making your car such a bad little boy.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
It's not dissimilar to California.
I know, but after 3 years, the only thing California is hard on is the admissions thing.
I know, but we have to...
$1,000.
$1,000, yeah. I mean, how much... It costs like less than $100 to do smog here. But I'm just saying, like, after 3 years, they get more and more...
Yeah, you know, 3 year car strenuous. Is like a new car.
I know, but yeah, if
that's
you
crazy.
Don't modify your car, you're fine.
Hey, dude. Plonk off.
Hey, plonk you, man. Don't make me call Scott.
Scott's going to help me pass my shaken.
Scott's retiring, so he'll have plenty of time to do that.
Now, this is where the problems start. Since regulations are always changing, updates are always needed, and those are pricey. The cheapest and most taken option is to just get rid of your car. This solves a ton of problems, and you just go buy a new car. The other option is to take your car to a shaken shop where they have fixed fees of $1,000 to get your car back on the road. It's not a complete scam, but adding $1,000 every other year to the price of car ownership kind of sucks. And the last option is to get the list of needed fixes and do it yourself. Most home mechanics will do that and present it for reinspection. This is just the exact same as California.
It's not the exact same.
Yeah, we have to do it every 2 years.
It's a bit harsher.
For smog, yeah.
Dude, I took my car to get smogged a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I got...
No, dang, dude.
That is just like
no.
Japan.
No, did you leave a bad Yelp review?
No, it was at 5 stars.
I wonder if... I mean, I bet the car manufacturers have to, like, love this, right? Like the fact that the public is incentivized to just keep buying new cars.
Yeah. I wonder if they lobbied to have this happen.
I would not be surprised.
And then there's also just the horsepower tax, which kind of sucks.
Is it horsepower or it's the size of your engine, right? Yeah, displacement.
Yeah.
In Japan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why they don't have huge engines. That's why K cars are like the cheapest. Under 660 cubic centimeters.
I'm sure we'll get into it.
We'll be right back with more of this story, but first, a word from our sponsors.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Unless you really, really like your old car and don't mind doing your own work, most people will just get a new one because they don't want to pay a random tax for owning a used car. While most Japanese cars will just end up on slow boats to Africa, well, they'll be sold on auction to retailers. But the very special cars will sit and wait for their 25th birthday so they can take a trip to America where they can be sold for 3 times their MSRP. Starting in 1985, America set up all these rules around importing foreign cars because they don't meet the strict regulations we have in place for safety and emissions. In 1988, though, Senator Bob Whitaker said that it was no fair, and he sponsored the Imported Vehicle Safety Compliance Act. This allowed what he called, quote, automotive enthusiasts to import any car they wanted from foreign lands, so long as the car was 25 years old. In 1988, that meant you could finally import a dope 1963 Prince Skyline Sport or a 63 Honda S500, both very small cars with very small motors, but they were fun and different. When Whitaker got his bill passed into law, Japanese folks started taking a long look at all the rotting pre-63 cars laying around, and they saw dollar signs in their eyes. Americans started counting down the days as soon as a cool car came out in the Japan-only market. The 70s Skylines, the 80s AE86s and Silvias, the 90s Supras and GTRs were all on the table, and in 2025, we're going to see a complete flood of even better cars.
Like the R34?
R34 will be legal soon. That is correct.
S15.
S15, yes. And the cool thing is they're going to be all super cheap because they're so old.
Oh, they're so cheap. Dude, you can get an R34 Skyline for like $375,000.
Dude, it's so cheap.
I'm thinking about, for my first car, I'm getting my driver's license soon. Yeah. You think a R34 is a good first car?
Yeah, dude, you should either get like an R34 or an Evo.
I was thinking Evo.
Yeah, get an Evo and like, but do like big turbo.
Yeah. Scott gave me some money for college.
Dude, I had to tell Scott to quit giving me money.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, I'm your son's boss. This is weird. It's only because he's like, you know, he's like big bro, you know?
Yeah. He always has like so much cash in his wallet too. It's
dude,
like,
so much. Scott just like throws it around, dude.
Yeah. It's like, he keeps saying, you're doing me a favor by taking some of this. It's like dude, just so stop getting so much cash out of the ATM.
Yeah, he's like, dude, it's making my pants heavy. I'm like, give it to your girlfriend, dude.
Oh, dude, we weren't supposed to tell him that.
Disasters are often a huge source of cars that are shipped to new markets, and the nicer and more valuable the car, the more likely it is to be reconditioned and flipped. Hurricanes Katrina and Sandy saw cars shipped en masse out of Louisiana and Texas dealerships and moved all over the U.S. to get cleaned up and resold. A man-made disaster is no different. I mean, a big problem with floods is that these cars will get shipped to states that allow for title washing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's no way to verify if a car has been flooded besides looking, you know, under carpet and stuff like that, really doing a deep dive into the car. So just be careful out there.
I think there's a bunch of like VinWiki videos on title washing and how people got screwed over.
Well, we also have a really great one too, Joe.
So oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. Anyway. The 1,600 square mile exclusion zone around Fukushima is home to some very desirable JDM cars that were slowly disappearing for completely mysterious reasons. Those reasons took the cars out of Japan and across the sea to Russia and Korea, and a bunch even made it to America. The year after the Fukushima disaster, importers noticed something was off, and they started buying Geiger counters. Tons of cars started blowing the needle right off the radiation detectors, and the Japanese export market got a little squirrely. And this is right when Fast 5 dropped in theaters, featuring a pretty impressive Hakosuka that could be purchased via the 25-year rule. The rumors of glowing Japanese cars took over the import scene, and sales dropped like crazy. So, importers started testing cars for radioactivity at the ports, and if they failed, off they went to sit out in the Fukushima exclusive zone until someone either stole the car and tried to ship it off again, or it became less radioactive, which takes a while, probably about 2,000, 3,000 years.
Like thousands of years. Between shocking and radioactivity, Japanese cars are used to sitting around and watching time pass. That's why it's totally normal to go to the grocery store and park next to a beat-up classic with flat tires and dust-caked windows. The practice of Hochi Jidosha, or abandoned cars, is so common in Japan that their entire industry's built up around it.
Okay.
Fellow automotive YouTuber Samit uncovered a car park in Tokyo with a pay-by-the-month parking spots. All right? The company owns a whole series of lots, and in one of their underground ones they tow away and store all the nicer cars that they find abandoned. The video starts with him explaining why the Japanese abandon their cars, kind of like this whole podcast so far. then he just casually walks past rows of early 2000s Imprezas that look like they were parked there when they were still brand new. There are so many rare Imprezas that he just overlooks a 22B, which is a very, you know, that's like holy grail.
Dude, Samet, I can't believe you would just walk by that and ignore it, bro.
Cancel him. Across the aisle is a covered up Lambo and a late 60s Aston Martin, kind of like how James Bond drives. A bunch of banged up drift cars and a mint 1969 nice Camaro. Those are all good cars that get saved for resale or collecting. But for every 22B or Aston Martin, there are hundreds of thousands of base model Suzukis, Hondas, and Toyotas that wind up in the jaws of a crusher.
No.
And you got to recycle them, man.
Dude, you got to, man.
You got to.
One car that certainly shouldn't wind up in the crusher is a red Ferrari found rotting away under a thick layer of dust in a Japanese barn.
This is the barn find of the title.
Finally, we get to the barn.
We're talking about the title.
Dude. We're at the barns.
All right.
Guys, we are at the barns, okay?
Hell yeah. Thank you, James.
But this wasn't just any old Ferrari. This one got the leading Ferrari expert in the world to drop everything and go have a peek. Do his freaking
like kitty. I'm just like, yeah, like what's this Ferrari expert? What do Ferrari experts do on a day-to-day, right?
Eat caprese.
Yeah, they have a little espresso and a caprese, and yeah. He just dropped both of them. Yeah. He wasn't even close to being finished with that caprese.
They drink espressos really fast and chase it with tonic water.
Espresso and caprese sounds like just a gut bomb.
Just butt suicide.
Butt suicide.
Dude, I found an amazing focacceria in Ooh. Silver Lake. Ooh. They had like homemade focaccia. With like, you know, meatball subs, you can get like eggplant caponata subs, and then Ooh. Get like a, for a couple bucks extra, get a burrata ball put on top. Oh man,
mamma mia.
And then they give you like a 33-ounce espresso to wash it down.
My Jean, dude. when the tarp was pulled back, Ferrari historian Marcello Massini said, "Mamma mia." He was like, "My Jean, bro." It was super rare, one of a kind, only remaining aluminum body GTB/4.
Wow.
Only a few Ferrari aficionados, super collectors, aficionado, Italian word, even knew that this car existed.
I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't. No. And you're like top 10, dude.
Yeah.
Massini had heard of the car's possible existence, but he never was quite sure.
Now, this is where it gets interesting, okay?
Now, this is where it gets interesting. I'm Aaron Mankey. Apparently, Enzo Ferrari himself ordered this car for his close friend, Luciano Canti, the publisher of the racing magazine Autosprint. The car was a street legal version of the race cars that Ferrari raced in Daytona in 1969. There were 1,200 standard steel bodied Daytonas built for general sale to the public. Then the famous 5 aluminum clad models slotted for endurance racing.
Wow, interesting.
And of course, the one found in the Japanese barn. Massini verified the Ferrari, which was known for setting the record for fastest production car in 1968. And it was legit and went on the auction block where it pulled a staggering $2.17 million in 2017.
Wow.
You know what? I don't think I'd want an aluminum Ferrari because I really like putting magnets on my cars.
What kind of magnets do you have on your car?
Alphabet. That's how I remind myself to like get paper towels.
Oh, it's your shopping list on the side of your car?
Yeah, yeah. It's not for decoration. I'm not a child. People were as fascinated with the history of the car as they were the composition of the body material. The car had been in the hands of Conti for only a year before it was sold to the second owner, an unknown collector who instantly flipped the car and sold it to a secret Japanese buyer who parked it in a garage and refused to sell it for decades. Then he changed his mind and sold it to Makoto Takai, who immediately sent it to auction.
Man.
Dang, what a cool story.
Yeah.
It's a great looking automobile.
Dude, I dropped my espresso looking at it.
While importing and storing a super rare Ferrari kind of makes sense, there was a car found on the other side of Japan that left everyone scratching their heads. Flavien Vittal, a Japan-based photographer. What? Flavien Vittal, a Japan-based photographer, was hanging out with a friend of his who had a classic car restoration shop with more projects than parking spots. That sounds familiar. Am I right, guys?
Oh, my God.
Right. Anyway, I'm Will Arnett. His friend got a lead on an unused hangar and invited Vidal to have a look. The owner of the warehouse told him he could rent the place for cheap if he hauled out all the old junk out of there. Get it out of there. The owner even mentioned there are a few cars with titles in the glove box that they could keep if they wanted to. He just wanted to finally make some money off the property. That sounds awesome.
That's insane.
When Vidal and his friend took a peek at the hangar to see how much work awaited them, they were shocked to find a bunch of cars. The most shocking of all was a pristine 1989 Camaro RS with only 25,000 miles on the odometer.
That's the most shocking?
I know.
That car sucks. I don't think I'd take... I don't like, if someone was like, hey, you want this for free? I'd be like, no.
I would take it.
I know you would. You have a problem.
That's a cool car, man. The teal one? Teal T-top?
Dude, teal T-top is like a riff-raff.
Dude, can you imagine me and Flavien riding around in that T-top?
It was this RS was a real import model that had been shipped to Japan for a collector who probably had a mullet and then forgot about it or couldn't afford the shocking payment. Vidal's friend got a new battery, hooked it up, and the V8 instantly roared to life. Well, not exactly roared, because it was a stock 89 Camaro RS, which had the LO3 engine, which was a 305 cubic inch, 170 horsepower, fire-breathing V8 that put down 255 foot-pounds of torque. The RS was a Malaise-era sports car, which rarely gets any love from demolition derby drivers, let alone wealthy collectors. Someone over there had a hankering for American muscle, even if it was the weakest version of it available. However, the interior of the RS was as mint as can be, and after swapping out the rotted tires, they were off to do some burnouts. Could probably make a sweet dirt oval car.
Oh, yeah.
Dirt stock car with that thing. Hell yeah. Joe, I would not be surprised if you bought one of these in the future.
We'll see. I'm looking for a place with a weird toilet, not a couple parking spots, okay?
Yeah, I have one parking spot and a weird toilet. Tire rot is a very common problem when it comes to storing cars. After a decade or so of sitting, the protective resin that keeps tires from oxidizing and drying out fades and wears off. The oils in the rubber dry out and the tire becomes brittle and cracks. The older a tire is, the more likely this is to happen. That's rubber for you. Yep. And no one knows this better than the mysterious Pro Auto in Gifu, Japan. The backyard of their abandoned car dealership became briefly internet famous when it was spotted on Google Maps. The street view shows piles of 60s and 70s European collector cars and race cars. Just from the pics, you can spot a McLaren, a Maserati Merak, and a bunch of Abarths, a De Tomaso Mangusta, which Nolan can't fit in, a bunch of Reliant Robins, Unipower GTs, Corbin Sparrows. There's even the McLaren MP4-4, or an amazing replica. That Ayrton Senna won an F1 championship back in 1988, buried under some collapsed ceiling tiles.
I love how it's all just like amazing cars and then a bunch of Reliant Robins. What?
Corbin Sparrow. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and guess that's not Ayrton's car.
You don't know that.
I don't. I don't know for sure. But
I'd say it's definitely not.
Yeah.
As you flip through images that people have taken after sneaking into the three-story abandoned dealership, the mass collection just gets weirder and weirder. There's kit cars everywhere, a sea of minis, tons of one-off weird builds that someone decided there was a need to hold on to, and Aston Martin's all snuggling together. If you poke around enough, you'll find the collection isn't totally abandoned. The sign on the building reads Pro Auto, and a bunch of folks on internet forums claim it's an auto restoration business currently in service. But looking back through the historic shots from 2019 to 2021 on Google Street View doesn't show much movement in the cars rusting around the building.
So this is just someone got some internet sleuth was like, whoa, I see a bunch of Corbin Sparrows. That is a weird car.
Corbin Sparrow?
Yeah.
Corbin Sparrow sounds like that is a weird car. Sounds like a side character in like a young adult novel.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
My name's Corbin Sparrow.
Oh, that's Corbin Sparrow. He's so hot.
Yeah, that thing's weird. It's like a little three-wheeler, two wheels in the front, one wheel in the back. It looks like something a minion would drive.
Yes, totally. Or like Jimmy Neutron.
Or Jimmy Neutron.
We'll get back to more Pass Gas, but right now, a word from our sponsors.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Typically, with a barn find, you can cajole or buy your way into ownership of the rare vehicle you just found passing time under a way of tarp. But that isn't so at this secret Japanese stash of rare racers and performance cars. This lot of rusting race cars was stumbled upon when an auto photographer was making small talk with a restorer. He told him of the legendary spot where someone had casually parked a 1999 Toyota Supra GT500 JGTC race car outside the front door of a shop. The Supra in question was the number 38 Sirimo FK Massimo JGTC car that was driven by Yuji Tachikawa and Hironori Takuchi in the late 90s. The Supra ran in the All Japan Grand Touring Car Championship, or Super GT, and traded paints with poster-worthy whips like Lamborghini Diablos, Dodge Vipers, Porsche GT1s, Honda NSXs, McLaren GTRs, Nissan 300ZXs, and GTRs. And now it's a flower pot that also acts as a marketing ploy for the small shop. Around back of this shop is where the real magic happens. One of the first things to catch the eye is an early Honda NSX Superleggera, just left there next to some rotting a rotting Alpina. Nearby is a rotting C3 Corvette and a row of E9 BMWs. The shop has been there for more than 50 years, and they've accumulated more than 200 amazing vehicles, and they've just left them all out in the rain to die. There's so many old race cars and drift cars that they've started jamming them into shipping containers and then stacked more on top of the containers. They've even got a legit NASCAR stock car sitting on the roof. No matter how much yen you try to throw around, none of these cars are for sale. Every car is a donor vehicle, a bin full of parts in waiting, or a part of an endless to-do list the restoration and race shop owners are working on. The longer you look around, the rarer the cars get. Some of the cars not hidden away are an Alpina B7 Turbo S Coupe, a BMW 635 CSI, very cool, a Land Rover TD5 Defender Crew Cab with Arabic writing on the side, that's sick, a Toyota Truno GTZ, a C3 Corvette on Workmeister wheels, hell yeah, a few Hakko Sukas, a Citroen AX GT, and just so much more that it's exhausting to catalog everything there. I'm out of breath. And that's why it's in a secret location. That's why we haven't mentioned the name. The 50-year-old family-owned shop likes their privacy and wants to avoid a bunch of Instagram auto influencers or nosy YouTubers like myself from waving their cameras around their peace and quiet, or worse, car thieves looking for something a bit spicier than catalytic converters. Guys, we should try to find this shop. We'll go in through the roof, Mission Impossible style.
This is our angle at getting a flight to Japan to go shoot some stuff.
We should take a boat.
Take a vote or take a boat?
Well, we can vote on the boat.
Let's vote on the boat.
Japan does everything a little differently. From modifying cars to storing them for decades, they tend to put their own flavor into it.
Umami.
They put their own flavor in it.
With the 25-year rule just starting to catch up to the late 90s cars, the world is on the verge of a whole new era of exciting Japanese barn finds. Expect Skylines and Supers galore to start getting discovered under dusty tarps just in time to ship them to America and make someone some serious money.
Thank you.
What do you say about barn finds?
In Japan specifically?
Yeah.
Well, I know that I want an espresso and a caprese sandwich right about now. That's for damn sure.
Little butt suicide.
Yeah, I could go for that right now.
Should we go around the table and say what we're grateful for?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, new year, new bit for the show.
You started off, Scott, son.
I think every episode from now, every episode in 2022, guys, all right? At the end, we should go around the table and say one thing that we're grateful for.
Yeah. Scott, son, you start.
You know, just after a long break and coming back to work, this is a really basic pick, but I'm just grateful to be part of this team. And make cool stuff with you guys. I'm sorry to be too my gratefulness will be, I'll have more bits later on, but I want to start off the year with something genuine, and that's what I'm grateful for.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
All right, I'm a headliner, so Joe, you go next.
Okay. I'm grateful for being able to go to the office and hang out and do some work, but it's fun and there's fun stuff. There's snacks there.
There are snacks there.
Yeah, pretty good snacks. You know, people over order for lunch, so we get free lunch a lot, which is cool. That's what I'm thankful for.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that. I'm grateful for the snacks at work. Grateful to be part of the team, and I'm super grateful that Nolan is taking jiu-jitsu so I can confidently talk to people
who are hanging out. Oh, I'm gonna have to fight for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't usually happen with someone who's younger than you. It's usually like an older brother who defends you.
Yeah, but, you know, what are labels? You know, it's 2022. My little brother can...
It's true.
I mean, I'm best friends with Nolan's dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
And Nolan is the oldest younger brother we've ever had.
Yeah. And we've had a lot.
Yeah. They don't last very long.
No, they don't. They don't tend to. We tend to go through them like paper towels, don't we?
Yeah. We get in a lot of fights and we need a lot of defending.
I'd like to, with that being said, I'd like to dedicate this first podcast recording of 2022 to all of the little brothers that Joe and I have lost throughout the years.
Oh, wow. RIP. We do have some listener mail this week. Great new bit, guys. I like it. Anyway, this letter comes from Chase. Hey, guys, my name is Chase. I started with Up to Speed on Donut and loved the longer format of the podcasts. Good stuff. I think a cool topic for Past Gas would be to discuss the relationship of car culture and different genres of music. Have a good one and be kind. Peace sign emoji. Chase.
Short and sweet. Nice.
Dude, Chase, I just want to give you a shout out because you have a rare name that is a verb.
Yeah, I can't think of any dad's named Chase.
No, there's not a single one. Oh, actually, one of my best friend in high school's name is Chase, and he's a dad.
Oh, that's a young dad, though.
Yeah.
What's our email address again, if you want to hit us up?
PassGas@donutmedia.com.
Hell yeah, and you can follow James at James Pomfrey. You can follow Joe at Joe G. Weber. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes, if you'd like.
We drop new merch items almost every week. You can go to donutmedia.com, pick some of that stuff up. Some of it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some really cool designs coming for you in the future. And we have some really cool designs right now, so check it out. You're listening to 95.5 The Drive. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.